Knucklehead MMA Fan.
And we're back. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Knuckleheads MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Jose Berrios, with the one and only Mr. Prelims, Tim Watson. And we're here to break down Noche UFC Shevchenko versus Grasso. Tim, what do you think about this card?
I think it's a good card. I'm very excited about a lot of the matchups. It's not the best for betting value, but I am excited to watch a lot of it.
Yeah, a lot of juice lines here, but I do think there's enough bets that we can make to make a profit. And with 11 fights to break down, let's get to it. First fight of the night, we have Josephine Knutson versus Marnik Mann. Knutson is a minus 600 favorite. Mann, a plus 440 underdog. What do you like here, Tim?
So, Knutson's coming off the Contender Series just a couple weeks ago. She won a dominant decision. She didn't get the contract, but she got called up for this fight anyway. Now she's facing Marnik Mann, and I watched some Marnik Mann fights. She looks like an uncomfortable striker and an okay grappler. Her takedowns don't look great, though, and I don't expect them to be really successful against decent grapplers in the UFC. She's also another fighter willing to get her opponent in her guard. She'll accept takedowns, not something that I think is great long-term either. She does look okay from guard. It's not impossible that she submits Knutson here, but it's something I don't think happens a high percentage of the time as you face better competition. It's also a possibility that Mann could land a takedown or a few. She attempts them, but she's pretty slow about it, and I don't really like her takedown approach that much. I think she may have more of a wrestling background than Knutson, but I think Knutson could possibly out-grapple her just being more aggressive and physical. Especially in striking, Knutson is way faster and much meaner and aggressive again. She uses the tie clinch. It feels like she can beat Mann up on the feet.
I'ma whoop your ass. And then I'ma whoop your ass.
I see Mann trying to shoot from too far away, even pulling guard. I like Knutson a lot. I like the decision. I could see her getting a finish here too, though, since she's so much more aggressive than Mann. So I don't think I really want to throw too much money on just a decision, but I do think that's the most likely outcome. So no bet on this one yet for me. Knutson for the pick.
Yeah, there's a clear edge on the feet for Knutson. You saw Mann's defense, striking defense, was very loose. She was getting kicked all over the place. She was kicked in the stomach, kicked in the face. Knutson is taller and longer here. Mann is only 5 feet tall. And you have Knutson, who's the natural kickboxer, kickboxing background. She's longer, better striking, more physical. Just all the tools there to hurt her opponent. I actually think she gets the finish here. The inside the distance props are not out yet. But that's probably where I'm going to go here. Knutson for the pick, and inside the distance will be my bet here. Next up, we have Alex Reyes versus Charlie Campbell. Campbell is the minus 455 favorite. Reyes, the plus 350 underdog. This is a total wild card here. Alex Reyes has not fought in the UFC since he lost to Mike Perry back in 2017. He's actually gone through some crazy health issues. Apparently, he contracted E. coli during a stem cell injection, and it caused him severe issues, including a spinal infection where he didn't even think he could walk again. But apparently with, you know, modern medicine, he's gotten a little bit better. He's been training again. He's actually good friends and training partner with Bobby Green. He's even cornered a couple of his fights. And apparently that's what made him hungry again. He's been in the corner. He's also friends with Chito Vera. So he's been in the gym. I actually think he owns his own gym. And he's a BJJ black belt, decent striker. But what do we, I mean, this guy hasn't fought in 6 years. In his one and only UFC fight, he was KO'd by Mike Perry. Charlie Campbell, we saw him in the Dana White Contender Series. It was a crazy fight where he severely hurt Chris Duncan numerous times. Almost got the ref to stop the fight. And then Duncan caught him and knocked him out cold.
You got knocked the f*** out, man!
So what do you take away from that? He looks like he's an accurate striker. I don't know if we can question his chin just because Chris Duncan caught him. I just think it was a crazy fight. You have to think Campbell's going to put on the early pressure on Reyes. And what do you expect from Reyes here? Can he take a punch? You haven't gotten punched in the face in 6 years. The thing is, again, it's a total unknown. What if it goes past one round? I don't know what Charlie Campbell's cardio is going to look like past round one. I don't know what type of pressure Alex Reyes can do. So for me, I'm just going to stay away. The odds are too juiced anyway. The official pick is going to be Campbell, but no bet for me at this time. What do you think about this, Tim?
Yeah, I lost a bet on that Charlie Campbell, Chris Duncan fight on the Contender Series. Charlie Campbell's a New York guy. He trains out on Long Island with all those guys. He's fought his whole career in decent organizations. That is possibly a privilege of training under Ray Longo. I think Campbell shows good grappling and good striking. He's pretty solid and just a mixed martial artist. He's not a guy where you watch his tape and then you think he's like a future UFC champion yet. But he's a little wild and a little loose at times. Maybe that factors into his getting caught by Chris Duncan. But I like him to get some wins at the UFC level. And I favor him in this fight against Reyes for a lot of the points you've already made. Also in that room at Pinnacle MMA with Bobby Green is Jamal Emmers. So I think that's a pretty good room for him to take on at least the grappling part of what Charlie Campbell can bring to the table. But at 36 and coming off that long layoff that you talked about, it's hard to really know what to predict from Alex Reyes. I don't really know what's going on, but even when he fought, I didn't like his takedown defense much. He doesn't accept being on his back, and he wrestled up well, though, and he showed good offensive takedown ability. He doesn't have great control on top, but like when he was on bottom, he was just constantly going. I don't think Reyes looked too bad on tape, but again, it was so long ago that it's just hard to expect him to look anything like that or any better. Like, nobody really knows what was going on with him. It doesn't sound like he was in a good state to be training that much. So it's hard to pick against a younger, way more active Charlie Campbell here. And it seems like an easy no bet spot with the way the lines are. But I do pick Campbell for the win.
Fun fact, he's actually Dominic Reyes' older brother.
Oh yeah.
I did not know.
I did hear that. That's weird, yeah.
Next up, we have Tracy Cortez versus Jasmine Jazz Devicius. Cortez is the minus 122 favorite. Jasmine's the plus 102 underdog. What do you like here, Tim?
This is an exciting fight. I'm really curious if Tracy Cortez can hang with Jasmine Jazz Devicius in wrestling. Cortez is a fighter that I've been high on since she arrived, and higher than I've been on than Jasmine Jazz Devicius, actually. But I think she thrives when she has a big wrestling advantage. And it's no secret to anyone anymore that Jazz Devicius is an Olympic caliber wrestler. The tricky thing about this, though, is that I actually like Cortez's wrestling more, but we haven't seen her face a strong wrestler, and that's what she's getting here. I like Cortez's prioritizing of wrestling more. She has more aggressive takedowns. She shoots a blast double leg, good level changing. On the mat, she's heavy in top position. Defensively, you have some concerns after Melissa Gatto was able to take her down three times. Gatto has great jiu-jitsu, but she can struggle getting takedowns in some of her fights. I don't know how much Jazz Devicius will threaten her in submission grappling anyway, though, but she may well be able to take her down when she wants to. For what it's worth, I thought Cortez's defense did look good on the mat. Jazz Devicius is more of an underhook, upper body style takedown wrestler. She's definitely a strong wrestler. I think defensively she can look good, but Natalia Silva and Kay Hansen took her down. I think Cortez will chase takedowns harder than those two did. On the feet, I think Cortez is more aggressive, and Jazz Devicius is taller and longer. So Cortez will seem to be crashing in. That may be something that Jazz Devicius will be able to capitalize on and catch her trying to close the distance. I really think this fight is pretty even, as the betting line suggests. One last thing about it is that Jazz Devicius has a tougher UFC resume fighting Miranda Maverick and Natalia Silva, But Cortez actually has wins over Aaron Blanchfield and Caitlin Neal in Invicta. But Cortez has not faced that same level of competition at the UFC level, though she is undefeated. So I think this is the tough pick, but I just feel like I keep preferring the Cortez side. I'm concerned that that is a little bit wrong and that she won't be able to wrestle Jazz Navicius, so I'm not betting this fight either. If Cortez drops to the underdog before the fight starts, I will probably take a stab at that. But right now, I'm just looking forward to this fight, and Cortez is my slight pick.
Yeah, for me, this is a very interesting fight. I think what throws most people off is her performance, Jasmine's performance versus Miranda Maverick last time, where we thought Maverick might have not only a wrestling edge, but she might have a striking edge as well. And Jasmine's aggressiveness just totally overwhelmed Maverick. And it's a similar game plan that Gato enforced in the second round versus the Cortez in the Cortez fight, where she just overwhelmed her and pushed forward, was more aggressive, and was able to get the fight on the ground. And she was mounted on back, laying down some heavy ground and pound. And it was basically a mistake on Gato's part that allowed Cortez a little bit of a breather there towards the end of the second round, where she went for an armbar, I believe, and slipped off. And Cortez was able to end the round on top. It would have been interesting if Gato just stood on top and kept laying that ground and pound to see what would happen there. Jasmine is aggressive. She does move forward. Cortez is a bit more technical. But like I said, Jasmine makes it dirty sometimes. And in the women's division, when you're aggressive and make it dirty, you can cause a lot of people problems. I'm going to lean on the Jasmine side here, who's a slight dog. I will lay a little bit of money. I'm not spending a ton on her, but I think there is value there. Next up, we have Edgar Chayrez versus Daniel Lacerda. Chayrez is the minus 250 favorite. Lacerda, the plus 205 underdog. What do you like here, Tim?
Yeah, we just saw Edgar Chayrez lose to Tatsuro Taira. He has an easier matchup now against Daniel Lacerda, but maybe not as easy as Lacerda being the plus 210 underdog. Both of these guys are winless in the UFC, and both have grossly outstruck their opponents so far. Chayrez was beaten by two exceptional grapplers so far in the UFC, and Lacerda is not in those ranks at all. Chayrez has shown poor defensive wrestling pre-UFC as well. His best defense seems to be grabbing the cage, actually. So I think Lacerda could have takedown upside here. How much, I'm not sure, and what he would do with it, I'm also not sure. But he could take Chayrez down. I've seen little to no offensive grappling from Chayrez. He did throw up a couple submissions on his back. But on the feet, I think Chayrez mostly uses punches. He throws the jab, and he has some stinging punches. He likes to trade, but he does take strikes in return. I think he looks fine on the feet, okay volume, and he seems to have good cardio, but nothing special really, in my opinion. Lacerda is aggressive on the feet. He's in your face. He carries his hands kind of low, though. I do like Lacerda's skills more, but the issue is that he has really bad cardio, and he looks like he has a pretty bad chin, too. Those two things combined make someone hard to invest in. So I think Lacerda is possibly the more talented fighter, but I think he probably wears down and possibly gets finished here by Chayrez. So once again, I'm not betting this fight, but my pick is Chayrez.
Yeah, we know what Lacerda is here. He's a bit of a wild man. He's going to come in super aggressive, and he throws, I don't want to say he throws wild because he is pretty technical and does have skill. And it looks like he knows what he's doing when he gets the fight to the mat, too. He's just so bonkers. He leaves himself not only open to get hurt himself, but he can't maintain that pace. After round one, he just totally falls off the cliff.
T, time out. I'm burning. My lungs are burning.
Lacerda is definitely dangerous early. And if it decides to grapple, it could get interesting down there when he threatens with subs. But I think Chayrez is pretty tough. He's a tough Mexican brawler. Those guys are pretty hard to knock out. In 15 pro fights, he's never been KO'd. I think he survives the onslaught, and I really like the round two props. Round two is plus 330, covers both ends, but if you go Chayrez round two, it's plus 500. I think it might take a stab on both of those. I think Lacerda is also tough, unless you really put the beating on him. I don't think Chayrez is that strong of a striker that you have to worry about him hurting him early. But I do think as he gets tired, some of those strikes that Kyrez could hurt him in the second round. So that's my favorite bet. Going with Kyrez here, round two is my favorite prop for this fight. Next up, we have Roman Kopylov versus Josh Fremm. Kopylov is the minus 325 favorite. Fremm is the plus 260 underdog. You know, if Fremm would have came out and out-wrestled and really outworked Jamie Pickett the last fight, I would probably consider just a small stab on him in this card. But I was really disappointed. That was such a boring fight in his last fight. And Kopylov, you know, he had struggles with takedowns in the beginning of his career, UFC career, where he started 0-2, but has now won 3 fights in a row. Looked like he's cleaned up his takedown defense. He has solid volume, pretty decent metrics, and has pretty good power. 3 knockdowns now in 5 UFC fights and 3 TKO wins. I think Kopylov's takedown defense has held up nicely in his last 3 fights, and Fremm isn't some kind of wrestling machine to bank on. I think he keeps this fight standing enough and eventually hurts Fremm, who looks like he was really stiff against Pickett. Even though he may have a wrestling advantage here, I don't think it's enough for me to lean on Fremm in this fight. I think Kopylov finds the finish. His inside the distance number is minus 135. And so he's my official pick, and that's my favorite bet for this one. What do you like here, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, you would want Fremm to have the wrestling advantage to pick him in this matchup. And like you were saying with the Jamie Pickett fight, he didn't look good there. He got out-wrestled by Pickett, which is quite a statement. I think basically everybody else has out-wrestled Jamie Pickett if they want to. But then he also was out-wrestled by Trayshawn Gore. So those are two people that you don't think of as high-level grapplers that Fremd had a lot of trouble with. So it's hard to say, like, he goes out here and puts a grappling display on Roman Kopylov. So on the feet, I think, as you do, I think Fremd is probably in a lot of trouble. I mean, anybody can get caught by anything, and Fremd has a height advantage. Maybe he catches him with a kick or something. But as far as predicting what's going to happen, I expect Kopylov to be a lot busier and a lot more dangerous. So I like him to win this fight. At minus 325, I'll probably throw him in some parlays. I'm not yet taking a shot on any kind of finish props on that one. No straight bets here, but I like Kopylov pretty confidently. Yeah, he'll probably be a good parlay piece.
Next up, we have Lupi Godinez versus Elise Reed. Godinez is a minus 440 favorite. Reed is the plus 340 underdog. What do you like here, Tim?
Lupi Mania is going to be running wild at Noche UFC. I'm excited to see her back, and she will be the pretty big favorite in this matchup. And I think that's largely because most of the time it's WrestleMania for Elise Reed's opponents. Lupi Godinez has the ability to wrestle in volume, and I hope that's what we see here. I'd like to bet on her even after the Angela Hill fight. But the books have her at minus 440 here. That's too high to touch her on the money line. But I think it's maybe not even too wide for my confidence in her in this matchup. But I took the decision at plus 110, which is her most often outcome in her fights. So it gives you some value on her line. I hope she doesn't decide to finish the fight this time for that reason. She should be able to take Elise Reed down as long as she wants to. And I think if she's on the feet, she should still be winning the fight there. She has much better volume. She's a pretty good boxer. I think she will be ready to go in this fight. And it's one that I'm pretty comfortable picking her to win. So yeah, I have a bet. Decision plus 110.
Yeah, I agree. Lupi has the huge wrestling edge here. Even on the feet, like you mentioned, she's Lupi's the more aggressive and hits harder of the two. The one thing is I'm pretty confident in the Lupi win. I'm really torn on the decision or the inside the distance. The thing is Reed's, all of her UFC losses have been inside the distance. She was subbed by Luma Lukabume, who's a decision machine, and she was TKO'd by Sam freaking Hughes and gave up 4 takedowns and over almost 12 minutes of control to Sam Hughes. The same page dominated wrestling, so it's hard for me not to think Lupi Godinez can do the same here. I think I'm actually going to lean on the inside the distance. I know Loopy's a decision machine, and both are pretty good odds. They're pretty similar. I'm just going to go with the Inside the Distance here at plus 140, just to lower that money line number just a bit. Next up, we have Fernando Padilla versus Kyle Nelson. Padilla's the minus 250 favorite. Nelson, the plus 205 underdog. What do you like here, Tim?
Yeah, Kyle Nelson is back already, and I don't hate this matchup for him, actually. There is potential value with him at plus 205. Padilla is another young Mexican prospect making his debut in the UFC. He's 26. He has long legs, throws up a lot of submissions on his back. He has a very active guard. He has not much want to get back to his feet. His takedown defense doesn't look good either, and I saw him defend some takedowns by jumping guard. I think Kyle Nelson is probably a big enough meathead to slam him if they're in that situation in this fight. So I think Nelson can take him down, and I think that's probably his best way to win this fight, though it might put him in some danger because Padilla definitely looks slick and sneaky from his back. But he's another one of those guys who will be losing rounds if he doesn't get the submission. On the feet, Padilla doesn't excite me too much, but I do think he's better than Nelson. He's much faster and sharper. He uses his length to his advantage. He throws like a long jab. He throws a front kick at people. So ways to really capitalize on being longer than his opponent. There's a good chance he could make Nelson look slow on the feet. So I really think there's reason to pick Kyle Nelson here, and I was close to doing it, but as of now I'm going with Padilla. I won't play him at minus 250, though, for the potential flaws I see in his game. If I'm betting this fight, it would probably either be the Nelson money line, possibly Nelson by decision at plus 650, or maybe taking a shot on Padilla to win by submission at plus 400. But right now, no bet, and I will side with the newcomer Padilla.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said. Padilla's going to have the volume edge here. But like you said, if Kyle Nelson decides to go to wrestling, this can make it interesting. The one thing is that I found pretty interesting was Padilla has 4 wins by triangle chokes. He's a very opportunistic sub-threat. Kyle Nelson tends to fade late in fights. I think if he gets a little over-aggressive in a wrestling, or maybe even a club and sub, I really like the Padilla sub round 3, which is plus 2,800. To me, it's worth a stab. Even like a $10 bet gets you 280. And it's something that I think is pretty viable. So I'm going to go with Padilla for the win and my favorite prop bet, Padilla sub round 3 plus 2,800. Let's go, Timmy. This one's a knucklehead special here. For those who are watching the YouTube channel for the first time, this is the type of content we provide. Next up, we have Christos Yagos versus Daniel Zellhuber. Zellhuber is the minus 278 favorite. Yagos, the plus 225 underdog. What do you like here, Tim?
I think this is a potentially good matchup at lightweight. Christos Yagos gets out-grappled by strong grapplers, but he basically out-grapples anyone else that he wants to. Daniel Zellhuber is not a very strong grappler, and I expect that Yagos can take him down.
That's what she said!
It's going to be the young, flashy game of Zellhuber versus the veteran, grinding game of Yagos. And to me, this line is too wide for that. Zellhuber right now is at minus 278 and Yagos at plus 225. I favor Yagos, even though it's just slightly. So I think the line should be closer. And that led me to take a shot on that money line. So Yagos is going to be my pick. My biggest concern is that he will get tired after a while of trying to control someone that's nearly 10 years younger than him. But I think he has a good chance, especially for plus 225. So that's the way I went with this one.
Zellhuber lost his first fight to Trey Ogden, being outworked on the feet. And Ogden is not a great striker, so that wasn't a good look for him there. There's still question marks about his takedown defense. And Yagos, like you mentioned, the big thing is his cardio. Will his cardio stand up? Because of those two things, I don't really have a strong feel here. I guess I'll lean slightly on the dog, but it's not something that I feel great about. So I'll agree with you. I'll go with Yagos to win, but no bet for me in this fight. Next up, we have Raul Rosas Jr. versus Terrence Mitchell. Rosas Jr. is the -750 favorite. Mitchell, the +525 underdog. So we have the 18-year-old versus the bum from Alaska.
Bum. A bum.
This is one hell of a match here, and something WWE might have been interested in. Rosas is the youngest fighter in the UFC roster. He's 7-1 as a pro with 5 subs. He's pretty much a good grappler and a really good back taker. Solid takedowns. Not much of a striker. He just relies on his physicality to get the fight on the ground. But in his second UFC fight, he lost to Christian Rodriguez. He started to slow down after that first round into the second round. So if you can make it a dog fight, you know, he's still pretty green and still 18 years old. But Mitchell is an Alaska FC fighter. And as we always say in Knuckleheads, anybody from Alaska FC stinks. Also, he has poor cardio, poor takedown defense. In the regionals, he just relied on bullying his way forward and finding the early finishes against really poor competition. But even in the regionals, he had a bad tendency to give his back. And I think you do that to Rosas, it's game over. We know what the UFC wants here. They want to rebuild the stock of Rosas. Mitchell tends to make mistakes versus decent grapplers, and I expect him to make another mistake versus Rojas. But the odds are severely juiced in every single direction that it's hard to make a profit on anything. -750, I don't touch on anyone. His inside the distance is -450. His win via sub is -225. And even if you go with round one, it's -225. So there really is no way to get value in this fight. And as much as I believe in Rosas' skill here, I just don't see anything to bet on that makes sense odds-wise. So he is my pick. I expect him to get the finish here, but no bet for me. Well, what do you have here, Tim?
Yeah, this is my favorite fight of the night, just because any chance to see Raul Rosas Jr. at this stage of his career is a reason to be excited. He's only landed 2 strikes in the full fight that he lost to Christian Rodriguez, and he didn't land a strike until round 3. So he also went 3 for 15 on takedowns. So it became pretty clear, if he can't get his grappling going, and probably early, like you were talking about, he's in some trouble, at least at this early stage of his career. His cardio didn't look to hold up too well. I do think Christian Rodriguez is a very good fighter, though. And I do think he's a better fighter than Terrence Mitchell by quite a bit, though. Terrence Mitchell is also a grappler, though, and he's very tall and long. I talked about him in his last fight in July. He fights at a frantic pace. He chases takedowns, but he loses position all over the place because he's constantly moving so wild and almost like he is afraid, you could almost think. He just doesn't want to show any patience. He moves from position to position, and then it's constantly being reversed or being swept. He's also been plagued by durability in his career, but I don't think that will be as much of a concern versus Rosas. I think this is a little bit of an interesting matchup because Mitchell will scramble. I think we could see some wild exchanges on the mat, fighting for position. Rosas should be much higher level, but now I wonder if his gas tank will keep up if he doesn't get Mitchell out of there early. I still would favor him, even if the fight was to go to distance. I still favor Rosas in this matchup. I also think this is a rare fight that it's possible Mitchell should be favored on the feet, just because Rosas offers so little in striking. Mitchell himself isn't a great striker, but I think if I was choosing between the two, I would give Mitchell the lean in striking. His long arms and long legs could give Rosas problems for any time the fight is on the feet. So, I mean, I favor Rosas here. I will probably take a play on that -225 submission just in a parlay, just because I'm excited to see Rosas fight and I want to have something on it. But this is the coolest fight of the night, and I think he wins a pretty high percentage of the time.
Next up, we have the co-main event, Jack Della Maddalena versus Kevin Holland. Maddalena is the -148 favorite, Holland the +124 underdog. What do you like, you two?
This is another good fight. If Della Maddalena didn't stumble a bit in his last fight, people, I think, would be going crazy for this matchup with Kevin Holland. I still think it's a good fight, though. We have two fighters who prefer to strike, and then two fighters who limit the damage they take in return very well. And with Kevin Holland, we have what should be a pretty wide advantage in submission grappling. But everyone knows you can't predict Holland will grapple really at all. He's more likely to get to grapple against people who will bring it to him, and I don't think Madalena is really that fighter. He will be mostly looking to strike, and he does strike at a pretty decent rate, Madalena, and again, he shows good striking defense, despite the appearance of his nose. He has shown mostly good cardio and good durability, but he looked to maybe get a little bit tired in the back part of his last fight. He's able to mix in takedowns a bit, but I expect both that Holland may be able to defend most of them, and also that it won't factor in too much in this fight. I don't think Kevin Holland is a guy to put your money behind too often because he doesn't always seem like he's locked in and taking it that seriously. But I do favor him in this fight. So the fact that he is at plus 124 really encouraged me to make a bet, because if I was lining this myself, I would have him as the favorite. I also took a bet earlier in the week for this fight to go over 2.5 for plus 110. I think outside of Kevin Holland catching a submission, I think there's a good chance that both of these guys are very tough and this fight should last a while. So I'm picking Holland here. I bet his money line plus 124, and I bet the fight to go over 2.5 at plus 110.
No, I totally agree. I'm also on Holland here. I think if it stays on the feet, Holland is longer and rangier striker anyway. I think in this matchup, he's being underrated for his power and underrated in his grappling. I think Madalena is going to have trouble getting to that length. Holland does maintain the range pretty well. I mean, he went toe-to-toe with Stephen Thompson. And even though he did get TKO'd by a corner stoppage, he did have him in trouble a lot of times. But like you said, he's hard to trust because he had Stephen Thompson on the ground and decided to stand up. So he's hard to trust, but he is a dangerous striker. I don't see anything here that Jack's going to bring to the table that might trip him up. I actually like him a lot as an underdog here. So I will be also taking the money line. No props for this one. I'll just take the Kevin Holland money line. And finally, we have the main event. Valentina Shevchenko versus Alexa Grasso. Shevchenko is the minus 170 favorite. Grasso, the plus 142 underdog. What do you like here, Tim?
So I was originally going to talk through this entire first fight, just going round by round, but I decided to condense it and just use that as the basis of this breakdown. So the very important rematch, it's an important fight for Valentina Shevchenko's future and possibly for her legacy. If Alexa Grasso loses this fight, she loses the title, but I don't think she loses much else. She would then lose to somebody who's often considered to be one of the greatest of all time. I think to simplify this, it feels to me like the striking is close between these two, and we haven't often thought Valentina had issues on the feet. She has good kicks and great striking defense, historically. So I think there's a possibility we see a better game plan from her in the striking department. Despite that being a submission win for Grasso, I think the grappling is wider and in favor of Shevchenko. What we learned most from that is that Valentina is vulnerable on the bottom, though. She did not show good defense when Grasso grabbed the choke. It was to the point that when I was watching it live, I was confused by it and I was wondering whether Shevchenko might be hurt. We also saw her held down not that long ago by Jennifer Maia, which she lost the first round. So she looks like she has a weakness in bottom position. But so does Grasso. She's historically been taken down and controlled by all opponents that wanted to. So both ladies are going to want to be on top position, and I think Shevchenko is still the better fighter in the top position. And I think it's probably her best way to win this fight. That's how she won rounds 2 and 3 in the first fight, and she lost the rounds where she stopped shooting takedowns. Round 1 and 4, she shot one takedown early, and they were defended, and then she didn't attempt any for the rest of either of those two rounds. I believe potentially another key for Shevchenko to have success then is to shoot more takedowns. I'm not sure whether her cardio was an issue because we've never really seen her struggle with cardio, but she did look like she was probably slowing down in the fourth round, and maybe that's why she was limiting her takedown output. So something to think about there. For Grasso, I think if everything is the same, she probably wants to stay off her back. She could find takedowns herself. She has a decent shot. And if she got a takedown, she could control Valentina for a bit. But I do think Valentina has good takedown defense. And I think that it's on the mat where Valentina is more vulnerable. So it could be considered that if Grasso was to land takedowns, that Valentina could be stuck in losing rounds there. But I do favor Valentina to land takedowns more. And I think Grasso looks to keep this on the feet for most of the time. So it basically has to be considered at this point if Shevchenko is on a decline. She hasn't been dominant now for a while, but I'm still picking her to win this rematch. I'm definitely less confident than I have been in the past, but the fight is also lined that way. I got her earlier in the week at minus 166, so I feel better about that than where the line is at currently. At minus 170 now, I think it's nearing the limit of what you should be willing to pay up for her in this rematch since the last fight was so close. So, yeah, Valentina is my pick here with a bet on her money line. And I think as long as she chases more takedowns, she should be okay. It's really just going to be a battle of who can stay out of bottom position. And I'm going to go with her.
To me, I'm keeping this simple, Tim. She was a minus 900 favorite for a reason, I think, last fight. She's one of the greatest fighters in this division. I'm not sure if she just, you know, sometimes in this fight game, you could get caught. And I think she was on her way to being up 3-1. Who knows if, you know, her age is starting to catch up to her a bit. But I got to think Shevchenko is severely pissed off right now. This is the first time she's tasted a loss in quite a while. I was severely behind Shevchenko. I thought she would actually put a beating on Grasso the first fight. I'm getting her now at minus 170 odds. I'm taking that. Woo! I'm actually considering. I really want to consider the inside the distance. It's so juicy at plus 250. But Grasso's pretty tough. I'm not sure if she'll give up the sub threat. I don't know if she'll get KO'd. I just think Shevchenko's going to come out angry here. So I'll just stick with the money line. Tempting to take the inside the distance, but I think Shevchenko gets her belt back in this fight. So she'll be my pick, and that's the bet for the fight. Next up, we have our best bets and parlays. Tim, what do you got?
So for my favorite bets, I like the Shevchenko money line, 166. Lupe Godinez by decision, plus 110. And Kevin Holland money line, plus 124. So for parlays, this one's not too exciting, but something I like the probability of it hitting. It's the Cortez Jazz Divisius over 2.5, the Godinez Reed over 2.5, and Shevchenko Grasso over 3.5. All combined for plus 180. So not a huge one, but I think a high likelihood of just more than doubling your money.
Yeah, I think for me, my favorite single bets are Kapilov inside the distance, minus 135. I like the Loopy inside the distance at plus 140. And I'm going to go with the Padilla sub round 3, plus 2800, just because of the value, I believe, there. As far as the parlay, I kind of like a four-fight parlay where I'll go with the Shevchenko money line, the Loopy money line, and the Kapilov money line, and add in Holland. If we get to the championship rounds, I might be able to hedge out and go with hedge the bet with the Grasso bet. But I think that's going to be the main parlays there. I'll probably do a couple of lottery ticket ones where I'll try to guess the card along with the Badia sub round 3 just to juice up those odds a bit. But those are the bets I'm going with. And that's it, the full 11-fight breakdown for Noche UFC. We'll be back next week for UFC Fight Night, Fazeev versus Gamrot. Good luck with your bets, everyone, and let's keep cashing.
See ya.